Exodus chapter 14. We had talked at some length last week about Exodus 12, about the fact that God had, through the first 12 chapters of Exodus, dealt with Pharaoh, dealing with Egypt to get Egypt to let go of his people. And what God used to finally get Pharaoh to let go was not by mistake. He showed Pharaoh a great pain that God himself would suffer later when he gave his only begotten son. And he knew that man could not stand under that pressure. But God did, and he did for you, and he did for me. He sacrificed his only begotten son for you and me. And the reason that Israel made it through was because of the blood on the doorpost. And the blood of that lamb without blemish. We talked about that last week. And Pharaoh let him go. And he is having some second thoughts here. You know, he realized after he let him go, the people realized after they let him go, hey, we're going to have to do some work now. We just turned loose the folks that were doing all of our work. And that's what we're going to start looking at today in Exodus chapter 14. Let's pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we love you. Thank you for what you've already done for us, Lord. Thank you for showing up, meeting with us. Now, Lord, I ask for your blessing on this message. You breathe on it, Lord. Change us for your honor and your glory. Yeah. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to look at about seven things this morning. On into this afternoon? No. About seven things this morning that I believe will be a help. The Word of God is always a help. And let's begin in verse number 3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh, upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the hearts of Pharaoh and his servants was turned and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. The first thing I want to see is the danger of the enemy. Here Israel is. And Israel is at the Red Sea. And here comes the Egyptians and their army. Israel doesn't have chariots and horsemen and all this, but they have God. And it says they were entangled in the land. And here we are today, we are stuck in this world until the Lord calls us out of here. But just because you're stuck in the world doesn't mean you have to be entangled in the land. I mean, Israel looked to their right, they looked to their left, they looked ahead and said, we're trapped, we have no help, we have no hope. They look back, they see the army of the Egyptians and the enemy coming after them. And the enemy's nothing to joke about. It's the devil's nothing to take lightly. Hell's nothing to take lightly. Sin is nothing to take lightly. Your sin debt is nothing to take lightly. If it hasn't been placed on that cross on Calvary and you accepted it, that's nothing to take lightly. The enemy is real. The danger of the enemy is real. And we see the distress of the people in 8 through 10. It says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, The children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. We see the distress of God's people. Now, we had talked a little bit Wednesday night about the fact that in Exodus chapter 1, God had been blessing Israel. They were increasing in number and in power. And then He allowed them to be afflicted. God didn't cause the affliction. He allowed the affliction. And just like the book of Job, He allowed Job, even though Job was a good man in God's eyes, man, He told everybody that he was a perfect man, an upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. That's God's words about Job. And God allowed him to be afflicted. And what happened when Israel was afflicted? They cried out to God. They weren't focused on God when they were growing in number. They weren't focused on God as they were living in the blessings. But once the affliction came, the refocusing came. And I'm telling you today, as we look out in this crazy world, don't miss the opportunity to refocus. A lot of times, God allows things to happen that might be, in our eyes, a little painful, a little challenging, a little discouraging, so we can realize that it's not about man. It's not about what man can or cannot do or will not do for you and I. It's about the Lord. So He blesses them, He refocuses them, and He delivers them. And guess what? After they're delivered, Pharaoh's a type of the Antichrist. He's a type of the devil. He didn't quit fooling with them. Even though they were saved from Egypt, he's still after them. He followed them to the Red Sea. He said, I got you now. I'm going to right this wrong. He might have delivered you from Egypt, but I'm going to destroy you. And that's what he wants to do to you and me. If you're saved, if you're blood-bought, born again, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the devil can't keep you out of heaven, but he'd sure like to destroy you. He would sure like to discourage you. He would like to discontent your heart. He would like to get a hold of you and wring everything that has hope in it out of you, so you would look at the sea and you would look to the right, you would look to the left, and you'd look back at Egypt and you'd say, oh, what a mess we have. There's nothing I can do. And God says, no, no, no. There's always an option. The option of calling on God. So they were distressed, and they called out to God. Now, I've listened over the last 20 years. Write your congressman. Write your senator. Do this. Do that. Get involved. How about getting a hold of God and asking God Almighty to have His will, have His way, and give you His strength as you go through whatever His will is? That's what we need. It's not about blue or about red as we see it in the world. Amen. It's about the blood. Amen. It's about calling out to the one that can make an eternal difference. We see the danger of the enemy, the distress of God's people. Look at 11 through 14. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. We see the direction from God's man. You know what he tells them? He doesn't say run. He doesn't say hide. He doesn't say, build up this giant food pantry, stock up on ammo, get yourself an RPG, make sure your family has a tank. He doesn't say that. You know what he says? He says, stand still. Whatever's going on in this world doesn't have to move us off course. He said, stand still. You know what he was talking about when he said, stand still? Standing on that solid rock of Jesus Christ. You know what a rock gives you? It gives you a footing. I'd like to build a house sometime. It'd be neat to build one. Never built one. Been in a few of them, amen. Never built one. Got to build a car once. That was real neat. House ought to be amazing. But when you build one, you have to start by preparing the ground and pouring a foundation. And if that foundation is not the right foundation, that house will not stand. That goes with a physical structure. That goes with a spiritual structure. The house of God will not stand if it's not on the right foundation. A family will not stand if they're not on the right foundation. Oh, they might make it. They might die still with a piece of paper in their hands. But they're not going to be fruitful and prosperous unless they're on the right foundation. But that rock will give you stability. You know, when a man dies without Christ, when he dies with Christ, absent from the body, present with the Lord, soul goes up to God. When he dies without Christ, his soul drops right down into hell. But when you're on that rock, it stops the soul from going to hell. It gives you a surety. It gives you protection. It gives you power. I'm not going to go all charismatic on you. We're not going to go out and start healing people. Well, if we could, we would. But if we really could, we'd be down to cancer place healing cancer people. We'd be down at the children's hospital healing them. We wouldn't be playing games for money, amen? We'd be out there doing what God... If we could do that, that's what we would do today. We'd cut service short and go down there and heal some people. But it does give you power and protection. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. It saves you and seals you forever, that rock. It gives you power. It gives you the power to stand. It gives you the power to move forward in the right direction, on the right track. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, Jesus Christ is the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, when the storms come, when the enemy's near, when the enemy's large, when the enemy's mad, and you're starting to have some doubts, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See Jesus Christ. Refocus. Regroup. Resubmit to the will of God. He doesn't want us to be living in fear. He doesn't want us to live in doubt and discouragement. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The opposite of a sound mind is really matched up in the Bible as drunkenness. Now, I know we tend to think of alcohol or pot or whatever when they think of somebody out of their mind on drugs or booze. But to be sober-minded is to be right-minded biblically. It's to have your focus on Jesus Christ. It's to not be drunken with the things of this world, but to be filled with the Spirit. You should be intoxicated and guided by the Holy Spirit of God, not by the fears of this world and by the doubts of man. I'm preaching to me too on this, amen. We should stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What the devil wants you to do is get your eyes off of the salvation of the Lord. And when your eyes are off of Jesus Christ, they are on the works of the devil. Confusing world we live in. God is not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace, life, hope, goodness, righteousness, truth. He offers the fruits, authors and offers the fruits of the Spirit to those that will stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So the direction from God's man, he pointed them back to Jesus Christ. He pointed them back to God. As they were looking around in panic, God's man redirected him. He said, no, look to God. He'll deliver you. The determination of God's man was to stick with truth. Look at 22. Jump way down to 22. The direction of God's man was to point him back. The determination, let's get back to 15, I'm sorry. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go out on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. And that's what we need in these dark times is light, the light of Jesus Christ. So that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. God's man directed the people back to God. He said, look at God, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. And his determination was to serve truth. You know what his determination was to do? To see God part that sea. Here they are, they're all in doubt, they're all discouraged, they're all worried, they're all crying out, oh Lord, woe is me, what are we going to do, what are we going to do? Moses said, hang on, God's got this. You know what God does? And that sea, and that east wind dried that ground up. I mean, we're talking about God. We're not talking about a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or a Rush Limbaugh or a who have you, or Stephen Colbert or any of these nuts. We're talking about God. He just says, yeah, no big deal. He created the sea. You know, the sea doesn't have free will. The sea has to obey. He give man free will. You don't have to obey him. You don't have to trust him. But that's always a good option. It's always the right one. The determination of God's man was to see God's power. Look at 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. We see the delivering of God's people. One of these days, that we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are standing at the precipice of the rapture. One of these days, he's going to call the church out of here. And then shortly after that, he's going to destroy the enemy. He's got this. He's got this. If we individually die today, we're going through that sea on dry ground. Because God decided to dry it up, to part that sea, to make a way for you and I to be delivered. He delivered his people. 23 through 28, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariots' wheels. There's the best pit crew you ever seen right there. He took the wheels off like that. And they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. there remained not so much as one of them. God, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Amen.
God will take care of the enemies.
Yep.
In the meantime, we don't know what's what, who's who, what's going on. All we know is that God will deliver us. We can trust Him. And there are a group of people out there without God that are going to be eternally judged.
Right.
We need to pray for them.
Right.
Instead of panicking, how about praying? That's what Moses said. Don't worry about it. You belong to God. He's given Himself the responsibility to take care of you. And He has the power to do it. So we see the destruction of the enemy. Man, Hollywood doesn't have anything on this Bible. Isn't this amazing? He just takes their chariot wheels off. They drive them heavily. Could you see this thing? Wheels coming off. And look, he dried the land up. They got some friction going on with no wheels, right? And they're trying to drive these chariots out on that dry, rocky ground to get away from the judgment coming. And they can't do it. No matter how hard they worked to get out of that judgment, they could not do it. No matter what you do in your own merit, by your own power, in your own works, you will not escape the judgment of God. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I bet Israel at that point were glad they weren't the enemy. You know, God doesn't cast His children into hell. He judges the enemy. And they go to hell for rejecting Jesus Christ. It's that simple. So if I could just do this and do that and do the other, maybe. No. Jesus Christ paid it all. If you've never called on Him and trusted Him as Lord and Savior, you won't be able to escape the judgment. That water, standing, could you imagine standing there watching them walls of water? And you know the funny thing is, God's children went through that in faith. The enemy went through that in fury. They were infuriated that God had let them people go, that they let them go, and they went in anger to their own destruction. In pride to their own destruction. They don't understand who we are. I mean, think about Pharaoh. Everything that God had done, all the plagues He dumped out on Egypt, and Pharaoh had some guys come along, these men of the devil that were doing some things, they were trying to mimic God, but they found out real quick they had limitations and God doesn't. And then He wipes out all the firstborn in Egypt. And Pharaoh says, let them go. I can't take it anymore. And then just hours later, he's chasing down God's people trying to destroy them. The devil's relentless. He knows he's lost. He knows that he's going to spend an eternity in a lake of fire. And there's nothing he can do about it. He's relentless. You would think Pharaoh would think, you know, hey, he just... all this stuff he's done to me, I'm done. I'm good. Let's just get a job and call it good. Amen? We don't need them people back here to serve us. That was a mess. But he didn't do it. He just went in his own pride and said, I'll get them. And that's where your pride will lead you.
Yeah.
To destruction. To destruction. I've seen people get a hold of those pews. And I've seen the Holy Spirit of God moving their feet toward the aisle and moving their hearts toward Jesus Christ. And I've seen them white knuckle them pews and the devil saying, don't let go, don't let go, don't let go. It's your pride. They'll know you're lost. They'll know you're going to hell. You'll be the only one. Nobody else in here is in that position. And the devil's just pumping them full of lies. And the truth is, if they just trust Christ and get saved, the whole place would glory in the Lord about it. And I've seen them white knuckle them things and not let go. And I've seen them vibrating. And I've seen the devil go, oh, you can't do that. You can't get saved. Why don't you do it later? Why don't you do it later? And who knows if you have later. God destroyed the enemy. You know, after he delivered the children of Israel, I don't think they were Baptists. You know why? They were very, very thankful. You know, I say that half jokingly. And all Baptists, amen? Look at verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Jump down to 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. You know, we had there a bunch of people that were in bondage, that were trapped in Egypt, delivered, trapped, entangled in the land, delivered, and thankful. They weren't running around saying, look at me, look at me. They said, look, God did this. He is my strength. Last thing he said there, too, I will exalt him. That pretty much sums up our job, our duty, our heart's desire should be to exalt him. He delivered me from Egypt. Amen. He delivered me through the Red Sea. I'm already as good as in heaven. You know how I know that? Got a book. You know what the book says? He's in me, I'm in him, Jesus Christ, and he's at the right hand of God the Father. If he's in me and I'm in him and he's in heaven, I'm there already. You see, God's outside of time. But for those that aren't saved, you're not outside of time. And time is running out. Time is running out. The danger of the enemy's powerful. And he uses his greatest weapon to destroy people for eternity, and that's pride. You know, when you look around the world and you see everything that's going on, people are victims of their own pride. So, well, they're the devil. The devil's just using them because they're allowing him to do it because of pride. And he can do the same thing with a saved person if you let him. Pride. You know, God says, check your pride at the door, amen. He that glory, let him glory in the Lord. See the danger of the enemy, the distress of the people. Well, if I thought I was going to hell forever, I'd be in distress. But you know what they did? They decided because of their distress, they were going to call out to God. You can do the same thing today. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about having beads or any of that junk. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm talking about, have you ever realized that you're a sinner? And you deserve to die and go to hell. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt and called on him. They were in distress and they called out to him. You know what God, man, told them? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Look to Christ. And call on him today. If you're here and you're saved, man, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, I know what God's vote is. I will exalt him. I will exalt him. You know what it doesn't say? Get everything you can get together in this world. Get all your guns and ammo and storm the Capitol. Doesn't say that. It says, I will exalt him. He's my strength. He's my victory. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Moses, with his church in the wilderness, with the people that were, in their minds, in trouble, in distress, discouraged, without hope. And Moses points them to the Lord. He's your hope. He's your hope. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, as your head's bowed and your eyes closed, why don't you call out to him today? Before that judgment takes place, before it's too late. See, God wasn't going to let the devil have victory over his people. But God had victory over the enemy. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you'll spend an eternity in a lake of fire as the enemy of truth. But you can call on him today and become a child of God. He can dwell in you and you in him while he's at the right hand of the Father. And one day, when you draw your last breath, you'll be with him for eternity. Hey, look, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ, you need to get saved. You need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Praise God, heaven's real. But let me warn you, there's a real lake of fire that'll burn forever. And that fire's never quenched. And the worm dieth not. That's the soul of man. And when you get there, if you get there without Christ, you will. But if you get there, you will never, ever leave. The Egyptians didn't have another chance. It was over. Why take a chance with your eternity? Just a few moments of silence. I'm not asking you if you're religious. I'm not asking you if you belong to a church or denomination. I'm asking you if you belong to Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you how your works stack up. The Bible already explains that to us. All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. I'm asking you, do you belong to Jesus Christ? Are you a child of God? Or are you an enemy of God? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Call on him today. Don't leave this room lost. A few moments of silence. Make sure that you're on the right side.